Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me as always, but different as always this week, because we have to, due to bloody government restrictions, is Nick Mason via remote telelink.
It's great to be here, James, but I mean obviously not here.
No.
And, you know, while our internet connection might be bad, our emotional connection also bad.
It's never
so
been
fine,
good.
Isn't it? No emotions, none, no sharing, only bloody... Just fripperies, James. Just pop culture nonsense.
I agree. Just stepping over each other and going, "What's sorry? You were, no, I just hang on. I think it. Oh, one of my headphones fell out. No, we're just gonna do that for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some audio issues. We don't really know because the most recent thing we did remotely prior to this was that episode of What If. We did a recap.
Yeah.
But what I have done, and obviously. Look, I do two things when we record remotely, and if people don't know, and obviously why would they know because they're not here in the room with either of us. One is I give myself a funny Zoom background that's just for you, James.
That's true.
Who'll be in the room with me this week? You just don't know. Sometimes it's a celebrity, sometimes it's a friend of the show. The other day I went DVD shopping with their friend of the show Dave Lee.
That's
in
right.
JB Hi-Fi.
I did screen
gave
cap
myself
that.
A funny little background.
Maybe I'll make a compilation. But the thing is as well, we don't plan to make this a habit, like we're working around like the restrictions, but sometimes we just have to. It's just, but you know,
yeah.
We're preferably not, but we're gonna do what we can, you know.
Yeah, and so this week it's gonna be you and me and Joe Rogan from the Joe Rogan Experience.
That's right, he's right behind you,
Mr. Joseph Rogan.
He's giving a big thumbs up and a big smile.
But the second thing I've also done is I've literally gotten a post-it note and I've stuck it over the video of myself on my screen because. I mean, that's what I do is I spend an hour plus looking at myself and making sure I'm squared up in the rectangle correctly and I don't actually connect with the person I'm talking to. And this is actually...
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got grey hair, James. I'd never noticed before.
No, that's just the light. It's a trick of the light. And I've put in some of that, you know, that old grey hair, like stage makeup in. That's what I've done.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
just
yeah,
yeah. So you do gags, like you're with Joe Rogan and I pretend that I have grey hair, so...
Oh, that's great. That's a good joke. Because if you actually did have grey hair at your age, that would be devastating.
I'd kill myself. So this week, though, we're going to, if people do want to jump around, we're going to talk about the Eternals trailer. We're going to talk about the Spider-Man trailer maybe coming this week, this new one. The first reactions to Shang-Chi, where Riri Williams' Ironheart is going to debut. Some more Captain America 4 news. Black Canary getting a solo film, Michael Keaton on the alternate realities in the DC universe, more delays, but don't dismays, or whatever this segment is called, we changed it to last week.
I mean, some people might be, you know, slightly dismaying at this point.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
You know, maybe the name and theme of the segment will change over the span of more months. But for now, don't dismays, guys.
It's going to be no dismays. No, it's going to be not a problem, maybe. John Boyega maybe coming to Disney Plus, a Star Wars Visions trailer, maybe a Secret Wars something in the works, and Bruce Willis has reached his final form, which I'm very excited
to talk about.
But before that, seeing as Mason and I are both trapped in separate rooms, we thought this would be a really good opportunity to also talk about movies that are set in one place, or bottle movies, as they are sometimes referred to. So we've got a list.
Well, what happened is we thought, well, obviously, you know, we didn't get a chance to see Snake Eyes. We didn't get a chance to see Free Guy. What should we talk about? And I sent you some suggestions.
Yep.
Some of which you were kind of lukewarm on.
And you said Snake Eyes and Free Guy. And it's like, no, Mason, we can't see those. But I think Snake Eyes is on digital now.
Let's just guess, though. Yeah, let's just guess, guy. Come on. Who'll know? But I sent you over some suggestions. I said, what about we talk about movies where people go on a big travel adventure?
Yeah.
Let's talk about road movies. And then at the end, right at the end, I'm just like, well, what about movies where people are stuck in their houses and they're having a really rotten time? How about that? And you were like, yes, perfect.
I didn't even remember the other two. I only saw that one, if I'm honest. Like, I was like, right. Yeah, that's the one I gravitate towards. The other ones didn't even register. Anyways, we did get what is called the final trailer for the Eternals this week. I didn't do a breakdown because, like, you know, there's deviance and whatever. I feel like if I don't have that much to say, I'm not going to bother. I will do one for Spider-Man this week if it comes out. But one of the big reveals from that is that the reason why they didn't get involved in the Endgame scenario.
Yeah, and obviously the real reason is because they hadn't written them into the universe yet. So that would have been silly.
Yeah.
They just showed up, just these half-form concept sketches just start flying through space. They're like, we'll save you, Earthlings. It's us. A camera test of Richard Madden. Here he is. Just a man in a V-neck T-shirt. Some of those, like, tinted sunglasses. I'm in Hollywood, and I'm self-taping. I'm here to save the day. But obviously, yeah, the reason they've given in the trailer is, you know, people have you're every man on the street, you know, Kit Harington, just a real schmo on the street, just a real pile of garbage on the street. Just your every man is like, why didn't you come and save the day? You know, every other time this has happened, and they're like, well, get a load of this guy, and it's Arishem the Judge, who's one of the Celestials,
and he's like, don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I personally would say it's a little bit unclear what he's suggesting. I mean, he doesn't say anything. He's just there looking stern.
Well, doesn't he say, well, they said we were told only to interfere if, like, the deviants are involved. But isn't Thanos isn't Thanos maybe like a deviant?
I guess so, but maybe not in this universe.
Well, he is in the comics, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In this, there's just one big purple guy. he's a singular just purple guy.
Oh, very good.
But in this, like, what we see of the deviants is some wolf creatures.
Yep, some kind of weird aquatic situations.
Yeah, and like a guy from Avatar.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's cool.
That's very cool. Did this get you more or less jazzed, or the same amount of jazzed, to give you a better idea of, like, the movie? Because the complaint of the last trailer was like, what is this about? It's just landscapes and people looking solemn.
Yeah, I look. It did actually get me more jazzed. You know, we get to see, you know, more of their powers in action. We saw another of the Celestials, like, holding an entire galaxy in its hands.
Pretty sick.
So we got a sense of what they're all about and up to.
Mm.
Richard Madden shoots lasers out of his eyes. You know, he takes those bloody tinted sunglasses off for 5 seconds.
Typical, that character probably.
Whatever he's from.
He's Icarus. He's Icarus, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is Icarus. Yeah.
I know the names of characters of comics I've barely read.
Yeah, you do.
I think I read one of the more recent runs. But so, yeah, there you go. I look, it's something that I hope to see regardless. But I'm going to talk a bit about delays where we might not be able to see it, in Australia at least.
I saw a tweet recently.
A tweet recently?
Somebody said, I think it was, a tweet. That's right.
Thank you.
Here's our new segment, What I Saw Tweetently. it was a tweet that said something along the lines of, it's a fine line with Marvel casting, because if you hire someone who is too famous, you only see them as that famous person.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time. And this person had that feeling about Angelina Jolie. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, look, I don't think she's, like, the main player in it. I think she's just one of the team, which is how they're kind of getting around it. Kevin Feige also spoke about how, like, the casting for Fantastic Four, and he talked about that balance between, like, new faces, like they did with, like, Chris Hemsworth, for example.
And red faces.
And red faces, the popular and mostly racist Hey, Hey, It's Saturday segment. We're back.
That's right.
Hey, It's Saturday. I'm very excited to talk about it, even remotely.
It was just the Gong Show. That's all it was.
It was, yeah.
It was just the same thing.
That's it.
But you were saying about new faces.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, like, someone like that, and then, like, Benedict Cumberbatch, who was, like, a more well-known kind of. And it is, and if you look at that for the casting, it is a lot of that. You know what I mean? So I think with the Fantastic Four, we're probably going to get at least one of them who's quite well known and the others not as much.
Uh-huh.
I'd say that's probably the direction they were going. Maybe they'll do half-half, I don't know. We'll see.
Mm. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see it at the movie. What about this, Mason? Apparently this week, maybe Monday or Tuesday, depending where you are in the world, we are going to be getting the Spider-Man's trailer where all the Spider-Mans are coming together for a multiverse event. But also...
Yes.
I've read a few things from people in the know who are like, you're not going to see the other Spider-Man. You're not going to see Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield. But there is some hints. People are like posting a lot of GIFs of like Alfred Molina. So it'll show that like this is the other dimension and he's back.
Oh.
But don't expect like all of them swinging together and doing karate kicks or whatever, you know?
I had a thought, James.
Mm.
Go with me here. It's a little bit random. Tobey Maguire-Man.
Wow, that's 20 years in the making.
It's been staring us in the face for two decades. I'm gonna Google search it real quick and see if I'm the only person who's ever said that.
You may just be.
Probably.
Is there one for Andrew Garfield? I don't know if there is one for Garfield.
Andrew Garg-Wideman.
Oh, mate, it's been 10 years in the making. It's been staring us in the face.
And we've done it. We've done it. We did it, folks. I'd like to thank everybody out there. We're 20 years and 398 episodes, and we did it. So they're saying, okay, we're gonna get bad guy hints in this, but obviously, like, they're not crazy enough to put all the big reveals in the first trailer, right?
And I think if it speaks to like what we saw in like the first Shang-Chi trailer, what we saw in the first Eternals trailer, this is what they do. They do like a little teaser. You see like mostly like establishing shots of characters and people looking, you know, looking like something big is going to hit them, but you can't see what the thing is.
Uh-huh.
And then it gives you like a rough date of release or whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So I think people are going to be upset, but just don't expect much is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Or just shoot for the moon. Expect everything.
There he is. Yeah. Mr. Sunday Wet Blanket. Here he is.
I don't know what to tell you, mate. I just don't want people to get it going there thinking they're going to see big kicks. I just don't think there's going to be that many.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not even a single big kick.
Nope, not even one. But here's something you'll see a lot of big kicks in. The first reactions to Shang-Chi have been out and people are loving it. Mm-hmm. There is not a bad reaction online. There's been a lot of the press tour stuff in the US in particular. It looks as if, I would say, it's probably going to get pushed back here. I would say.
Yeah, maybe, because it's in Melbourne, we're going to be getting out of lockdown the day before.
And
maybe.
We're probably not, if we're honest.
Yeah.
And that would also mean that it would release on the Friday, and it's like, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. I'm trying to get Claire to do a poke around for an online copy from Marvel. I don't think it's going to happen, but she's good at like...
What does that mean?
Well, she's good at getting stuff like out of like PR people. Okay. I'm bad at it. They're just like, no. And I'm like, all right, sorry, I emailed you. But she's very much like,
I'm not sorry that I emailed you.
Yeah. If anything, you're sorry. You will be sorry, she says.
She's on the dark web.
Yeah. I don't think we'll get one. But yeah. So look, all I'm saying, another thing.
Yes.
Wet Blanket. Mr. Wet Blanket Movies is telling you that if you're in Australia.
There he is.
It might not be coming.
Mm.
And speaking of, let's talk delays but not dismays, Mason.
Oh, we're not. Is that all our Shang-Chi talk?
Oh, sure. Okay. What have you heard? What are you about?
Well, I haven't heard anything because I'm a man of the people, James. I'm not out there in the intellectual dark web getting Spider-Man screeners and AK-47s in exchange for Dogecoin or whatever like you and your wife are. But what I was going to say is that the you know we've seen snippets of the action in this movie,
yeah.
But I think this trailer really showed it off.
What trailer? You mean like all the clips that have been coming out or whatever? You mean?
Yeah. Mm. But what I think this week's sort of burst of trailers has shown is that for me the question has always been, how do you make a martial arts movie interesting in a world where everybody kind of does martial arts all the time anyway? Like that's most people's default position is a like a crouching tiger stance,
yes.
You know, when they're just. They're just in line at the juice bar or whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing doing some kung fu stances.
He's not wrong.
No, but you know, the moves we're seeing on Shang-Chi, you wouldn't see on anybody else in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like you wouldn't see Captain America doing the leap in the air double splits kick. You wouldn't even see Black Widow do that.
No, absolutely.
And it turns out, I didn't know this, But a lot of Jackie Chan's stunt crew were working on this movie.
Oh, I saw there were some comparisons. I know because some people were being like, check out this bloody whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
There were some comparisons, but no, I didn't realize that. No, I was shocked and appalled.
Apparently, I don't think we mentioned this, but Brad Allen, who recently passed away, was like one of... Like a world renowned kind of martial arts stunt coordinator.
Yeah, yeah.
And his team worked on this.
Oh, so, very good.
And
okay.
then along with Jackie Chan's crew. So that's, you know, that's
something.
That's good to know. The shots we're seeing in this, I think, really do look like it's gonna just not be, you know, Captain America fighting Black Widow style.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, standard issue stuff. So that's good.
Exactly. Yeah.
And there's big glowing rings.
There's big glowing rings. And that's the problem, you know, we've talked about before, what with, like, the Iron Fist character is because, like, if you're the best at martial arts, maybe you should look like you can do it, you know what I mean? And it seems like they've nailed that. But again, it's like, these are, like, reviews. I'm back, Mr. Wet Blanket Movies.
There he is,
These are reviews from people, like, who are in the press, who get excited for everything and first reactions, whatever. By all accounts, it's, like, at minimum, it's going to be pretty good. So that's good.
Yeah.
But, they, you know, again... Just temper your expectations. Yep. Don't go into it, you know.
I was reminded this week that Finn Jones, star of Iron Fist, has in the past given us a grab that gem from...
he has.
And
then I felt bad.
In video form, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't know. Maybe he was the best at martial arts in Iron Fist and they made him look bad, you know?
Well, we don't know his side of the story of this thing.
Exactly. So,
so
let's get him on the show.
Mm.
Be like, what's your deal, man?
I mean, you know... Yeah, I mean, we appreciate the shout-out, but whatever, man. No?
Explain yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Before we before we get into delays but not dismays, I've got some more news, Mason, if you don't. Or we can do delays now. What would you prefer? It's up to you.
I prefer delay. Let's get delays but not dismays out of the ways.
Okay.
This is our new segment, Delays But Not Dismays. Get them out of the ways.
Yes.
If you plays.
Last week I changed it to something like, the countdown to when No Time to Die is going to get delayed. And lo and behold,
oh yes,
the cursed monkey paw that is this segment, it turns out, means that it has been delayed specifically in Australia to November 11th, okay? So the released, the world premiere is going to be in London on September 28th.
Yep.
And they've said that, like, it's so costly, we've pushed it back so much, and every time we ramp up to this fucking movie, it costs us tens of millions of dollars.
Wow.
It would be more cost-effective at this point if they just release it and get it done. Because every time they move it, it just costs money, you know? It's just like, it's just a burning hole in their pocket. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
How about this, James? How about this for a poster?
Okay.
No Time to Die, Down Under.
Can he be wearing a Cobra?
Yeah.
With corks. With the corks to swat away the flies.
With the corks, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I'm a big fan. Oh, sorry, Mason, I didn't offer you a drink, but then I just realized that we're doing this remotely and I'm just doing a good joke. I forgot. You know what I mean?
That was great stuff. I like that. It was good.
Thank you.
That was good. I'd offer you this Optimus Prime, but you're not there, so you cannot have this.
Yeah, but next time you'll bring it, I'll take it. So don't forget. Because when you come next time, I will give you a drink. Like, I'm true to my word, and I will do that.
Yeah, okay.
I can even give you two.
Okay,
that means you owe me an Optimus Prime.
Okay.
I expect it.
Fine. You can have my Action Master Optimus Prime, the one that doesn't transform.
No, Mason. I'd rather have grey hair and die, quite frankly. So
okay, good.
You probably also heard that Venom might be delayed again. So, you know.
I actually didn't hear that.
So there you go.
So thanks for that.
I mean, that could just be...
I was having a really great day until you told me that Venom's going to be delayed again, probably.
But look, I think that could just be the news for every movie. Mm. So this just might be delayed, you know. But that one specifically, there was rumblings this week. Anyways, Dominique Thorne, is going to play Riri Williams. We knew that as in Ironheart.
Uh-huh.
Like the young protege of Iron Man.
Yes.
Apparently is going to make her first appearance... not in the Disney Plus series, but in the movie Wakanda Forever.
Yeah, right.
The Black Panther sequel. And speaking of our What If episodes, our last one went up on Wednesday where we talked about each What If episode every week, and that one features one of the final performances from Chadwick Boseman. We were like, this is pretty good. But I'm getting a lot of comments that are people like, actually, this wasn't very good because how did he convince Thanos to not destroy the world? And I'm like, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just a cartoon set in a parallel dimension to a series of movies you probably don't like anyway. So don't even worry about it. You know, it's okay.
In a way, sometimes entertainment is meant to be fun and lighthearted, and not everything is fate of the universe. And sometimes it's fun to just have a little throwaway joke.
That's right.
Where Thanos is a nice man. Mm. Isn't that a bit of fun?
Yeah,
no, but it's not.
Yeah. Oh, you're telling me?
No, it's not fun. Yeah, I'm telling you no. I'm telling you in this instance it's wrong, and all the haters are right, James.
Oh, well, what do you do? There's a lot of other questions like, yeah, why is he called Star-Lord? Because, you know, Peter Quill was called that because his mum called him Star-Lord. And I'm like, I don't fucking know. Who cares? Like, it doesn't matter. Again, it's set in a parallel dimension. Maybe he saw it on a billboard. I don't know. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
Maybe he saw it on a billboard.
Look, maybe it's not the best thing you ever put out, but, like, who gives a shit? It doesn't matter.
How about this? Maybe Ego told his mother something story about a guy called Star-Lord something, and then she called him Star-Lord.
What? She called Black Panther?
No, she called Peter Quill Star-Lord because of something Ego told her. So maybe a Star-Lord is a common thing out in space.
Oh, okay, I getcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
And Ego was like, yeah, we got these guys, they're called Star-Lords or whatever.
I think they didn't want to like name specifically why he was called Star Wars. His name's Star Wars now. because then that's like the Han Solo thing from Solo of like someone getting your name. Yeah, so it's like, let's just avoid that.
Maybe it's like you've got to put your Mr. you know, whatever at the, like the space DMV. And one of the options is Star-Lord.
Oh, yeah. That's just the most that mundane.
Yeah.
Why not?
And you just go, oh, Star-Lord sounds good. Like, you know, sometimes you'll be filling in a form online or something and it's like Mr. Miss. And then it's got like Admiral, and you're like, oh, maybe I'll try Admiral.
Yeah, it's like, do you want to be Duke? And it's like, I want to be a Duke. Yes. That's funny. It is funny. It's very funny.
Yeah.
So Anthony Mackie has confirmed, though we did hear this rumor upon the wrapping up of the show, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, that it's confirmed he's going to do Captain America 4 as a movie.
Oh.
So there you go.
Makes sense.
What is that going to look like? Well, it'll be on a big screen for one, but beyond that, we don't know much.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But that's exciting, I feel. So, yeah, that's not surprising. It's also, like, I feel like even with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, like, it didn't move the universe forward that much. Like, it was just kind of like, and he's Captain America. And it's like, yeah, we know. He was already – that's how the last movie finished. But, yeah, good. Getting his own movie, why not? This is by Sinlix. Journey Smollett is going to be reprising her role as Dinah Lance, as in Black Canary, in a HBO Max Black Canary movie.
Cool.
Now, we heard recently that – Batgirl is getting a movie, Blue Beetle's getting a movie, and now Black Canary. So this is off the back of she was Black Canary in, what's it called?
Birds of Prey.
And yes. She used that power at least once in that movie, I feel.
She used it one
and
time.
And so why not? Yeah.
Or two times if you count the time she broke the glass.
I don't believe that.
Okay, great.
This isn't a surprise because she was the star of Lovecraft Country.
Also on HBO, yeah.
Exactly. A lot of people involved in that are also apparently going to be writing on this. And, you know, she's a rising star.
Yeah. And Lovecraft Country got cancelled. So
it did. For old tweets. So that's what happens. You know what I mean? You got to be careful
that's
what you put
exactly
out there.
Right, yeah.
In the world of social media.
The tweets were just, you know, a lot of, they were just quotes from a lot of H.P. Lovecraft's old books. And it turned out they're awful. It's awful stuff in there.
Can't say that stuff.
And just some of the things he actually thought and said.
Yep.
And the thing that he named his cat. You can't say that. You shouldn't be able to say
it. I didn't know about the cat thing.
Don't look
That's
it
probably
up.
Something you can't say. I'm going to have to look it up now.
You absolutely cannot say it. Yeah.
So Michael Keaton this week, he was speaking to THR and it was meant, and they were asking him about the alternate realities in the DC universe, because obviously with the upcoming Flash movie, which is just a Batman movie, his Burton universe is going to be merging with the regular DC continuity, whatever that even is at this point. And he was talking about how he just doesn't get it. Got a quote here where he says, They had to explain that to me several times. By the way, I'm not being arrogant, I hope, about this. I don't say it like, I'm too groovy. I'm stupid. There's a lot of things I don't know about. But I never looked at this like, oh, this is just a silly thing. It's not a silly thing when I did Batman. It was not a silly thing when I did Batman, but it has become a giant thing culturally. It's iconic. So I have even more respect for it, because what do I know? This is a big deal in the world to people. You've got to honor that and be respectful of that. Even I go, Jesus, this is huge. So I think that's good to be like, I don't get it, but people seem to like it. And all right.
Now, that's a fun quote. But I feel like if... If anybody wants to track down the audio of that, you should definitely do it, because Michael Keaton interviews are always better.
Yeah.
In audio form, I think. Like he did a WTF with Marc Maron some years ago, and it's very good, because he did stand up before he did acting.
He's
and et cetera,
very
et cetera.
Funny, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But he's talking about how did you ever regret turning down, you know, any Batman sequels or whatever? And he's like, man, you know, I never did, but then one time I wanted to buy this house, but I didn't have the bread, man, you know? So, you know, he seems like
a beat poet.
Yeah, he seems like an old hippie. But one thing, I don't know if you saw that, I don't know if this is recent, but in a similar vein, I saw an interview with Joseph Gordon-Levitt quite recently.
Yeah.
And it was about... And it was one of the clickbait articles, to the extent that I think I probably emailed it to myself. We might use it in our clickbait podcast. We got this covered. But it's basically Joseph Gordon-Levitt is asked about like all the expanded DC universes and would he like his character to move on and be part of this expanded universe or whatever. And he's like, I don't know what any of this means, but it seems great. Yeah, man, terrific.
I love it. I'm watching that show. He's got a show about being a teacher on Apple Plus at the moment.
Oh.
Mr. Corman or something, which is quite good. Anyway.
Cool.
That's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got Apple Plus for some reason, you can check it out. Oh, did you see there was that new trailer this week for that Apple Plus series, Isaac Asimov and the World's Ending Because Mathematics or whatever?
Oh, Foundation. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know that one?
I do.
New trailer for that this week, which looks incredible. So that's coming out this year. That's very exciting.
I agree.
Anyways, Mason, it's time for Star Wars news.
Oh, all right. Fine. 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 Whatever, man. Good on you.
So this is via the hashtag show. Apparently John Boyega, he had a quote a couple of years back after whatever the last Star Wars movie was called.
Uh-huh.
It was like, I'm not going to get Disney Plus. You'll never see me again or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Apparently John Boyega as Finn is a story they are going to tell in a Disney Plus series, and it would be pre-First Order Finn, and then it will jump forward in time to continue his story post-Rise of Skywalker. So presumably like it'll be like his Stormtrooper stuff and then his Jedi training stuff.
Oh.
So there you go. It's interesting because they don't seem to have a problem with moving forward past the universe in live action, whereas with the original trilogy, they didn't touch anything in live action really post that, other than some video game stuff.
Yeah, right.
And I guess the Ewok movies, I guess. So they're not going to wait like 20 years. They're going to like use these characters now, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
To flesh it out a bit, which I think is interesting.
Do you think they're ever going to explain what he really wanted to say to Rey that time?
Nah, I think it's going to end every episode. Like they'll be having dinner together and he'll choke on like an olive, and then he never gets the chance to say it.
A portion.
He just chokes on different things. A portion, I should say, yeah.
An assortment of portions.
So there you go. Excited for that, Mason?
Yeah, okay, cool. That's interesting they've buried the hatchet.
Yeah.
Unless they're somehow going to be assembling this through like snippets of interviews and things and like unused takes and dialogue and sound alikes. And
look, I think if they roll up and they're like, we'll give you $10 million and whatever, and you know, because we'll do something proper with the character as opposed to the last movie, then I could see why he'd want to do it. Yeah,
James, I've found it.
Oh, what is it? Is it the name of the cat?
No, this is the
interview.
You're
going to hold it up?
This is Joseph Gordon-Levitt responds to the idea of returning in a DCEU team-up movie. This is on Screen Rant, but I'm going to...
Let's do it.
Here's the paragraph. During an interview on Jake's Takes, promoting his new Apple TV series Mr. Corman, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was asked if he would be interested in playing Robin or Nightwing alongside Batfleck and Michael Keaton's version of Bruce Wayne in the upcoming DCEU multiverse movie The Flash. Gordon-Levitt responded to the question saying, "To be perfectly honest, I'm completely out of touch with everything you just said."
Yeah, fair enough. He's got kids now as well.
Because honestly, if you were presented with that block of a question and you didn't, you weren't intimately familiar with what a Batfleck was and a DCEU multiverse and a bloody Night, you don't know who Nightwing is. Who Robin is. You'd be like, I don't know what any of this is. I'm trying to be a wacky teacher in a sitcom or something. Whatever James said, he would say.
No, it's about depression or whatever.
Oh.
And anxiety. Wow. It's one of those.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Speaking of Star Wars, though, did you see the trailer for Star Wars Visions, the anime?
I did.
stuff. Looks good.
Does look good.
I don't know. I think it's, is it this month or next month? Whatever it is, I don't know whether they're dropping them all at once or what's going on. I'd imagine they are because I think they're only short.
Yes.
But I don't actually know. I don't know anything. But in a way, I know a lot. Do you think?
Name one thing that you know.
I know the next bit of news is from Jim Shooter, and it's about Secret Wars.
Love Jim Shooter. One of the best.
And to be fair also, I only know that because it's in front of me. Like if it wasn't in front of me,
yeah.
I wouldn't know that.
That's true. People who are missing out, who are missing, you know, General Grievous and his many arms, if you like, I wish there was some sort of lightsaber-wielding Jedi or Sith-type person with a billion trillion arms. Star Wars Visions, they got you covered, let me tell you.
That's exactly, you're not bloody wrong.
Mm.
So this is very interesting. So this is from former Marvel editor-in-chief, as mentioned, Jim Shooter. He was recently a guest at MegaCon, which is something.
Okay, great.
And this is what, this. I've just got a bit of a block of text here, so stop me at any point if you need to ask questions or just you want to make a funny comment or a little riff, you know what I mean?
What if I want to attempt a funny comment and it doesn't quite, I know in the middle of it, I'm halfway through and I'm like, this isn't going to land, but my two choices are, do I just stop talking and pretend it's a connection issue, or do I just keep going with a thing that actually isn't that funny, you know?
Well, it depends, like what just feel it in the moment, I think, you know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay, great. All right, so have faith in my abilities. 400 episodes into this stupid thing. I won't. I never will.
So he said, this one clown called me from Marvel.
This one clown?
So he says, this one clown called me from Marvel. He wasn't an editor, but some executive of property management, which was a little odd. He asked me if I wanted to write a novelization of Secret Wars. So Shooter went on to mention that he was then sent a retroactive work-for-hire contract, which he ended up turning down. Another call then came, this time from David Boggett, the Senior Vice President of Operations and Producement of Public... Sorry, I can't bloody read this small text message of publishing at Marvel Entertainment. Shooter says Boggett apologized for the previous call and that the retroactive offer was for $10,000. According to Shooter, the reason for the contract he was sent is because Marvel was trying to secure the rights to Secret Wars and to prevent any potential legal issues from arising in the future. Yeah. So I've talked about this recently where a lot of the people who worked on and created these big comic runs don't get any actual, you know, money for any of this.
Yeah, and the figure that's being thrown around is $5,000. Like sometimes they'll pay him off, they'll be like...
Yes, so $10,000, pretty generous. $10,000,
yeah, very, very generous. Yeah.
So while Shooter didn't think Marvel needed to retroactively pay him for the characters, he ended up taking the money and deduced on his own that a movie is coming at some point. So he said, this means you're making a movie, right? And the Boggart says, I'm not allowed to tell you that. And then he said, then Shooter followed that up with, well, I think you just did.
Whoa.
So there you go.
Detective Shooter.
So what version do you think that is, though? Because there's like Secret Wars, the original, which we did for Book Club, didn't we?
We did. We
the Black Suit Spider-Man.
Yeah. That's a great... I reckon if... Because the modern version is... The old version and the new version are both similar and sort of in the way that it's sort of like, you know, heroes are whisked away from Earth to like a, you know, to like a an alien planet. But in the... In the new version, it's all various parallel multiverse...
Battle world?
Elements that are... Battle world, yeah. So I would probably say the Beyonder, who was the villain of the first one, and the elements of the second one, he'll be in it. I would probably guess that even if it's just, spitballing at this point, I think they're like, okay, well, if we've got a multiverse now... If we've got an infinite number of parallel universes, people are going to want to see them fight, you know?
Absolutely,
And so we can do that in a mobile game, obviously, and that's going to be a big-time hit. And that's going to, you know, a lot of kids are going to hit that loot box button and drain their parents' bank accounts. But also what we could do is we could go, okay, see who people respond to in these multiverse movies and then be like, the multiverse is going to collapse unless they all get together on a planet and fight.
And they have to fight the Yon Griffith Fantastic Four team or whatever.
Yeah, before they got their powers. It's a short fight. It's just a big pile of all the failed Fantastic Four characters before they got their powers. Just very satisfying. Just
I think so. But I think that's interesting, like that idea of, yeah, bringing everybody together to fight. Because isn't that what comics are really about, really, at the end of the day?
Yeah, yeah.
Just bringing everybody together to fight. Mm. Even the most cerebral of comic books over at Marvel and DC end up with, you know, what is my, what, not Mr. Fantastic, what's his name? The guy the guy who gets out of stuff. What's his name from DC?
Mr. Miracle.
Yeah, Mr. Miracle, like having to kill Darkseid or whatever.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Or even like, you know, Injustice is a very, you know, mature comic book.
Yeah.
But it's really just, it was really just springboarded off a video game where people kick each other's heads off. So,
exactly.
Well, I was going to say, it's interesting that Jim Shooter got this, like that they gave him the 10,000 because he was like, he is alternately liked and disliked in the comic book universe. When he was editor-in-chief of Marvel, he was like all about deadlines, but he was also like, if you invented a character and get licensed for a toy, you got money and stuff like that. So I think they'd be like, okay, he's gonna be super litigious. Like if we put out a Secret Wars movie, he will 100% get the lawyers engaged. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's got enough juice in the comic book industry, and probably enough money to, you know, make it a real pain. So I imagine they're like, they wanted to make nice first.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it sort of worked.
Sort of worked. And
by that,
but it
I mean they leaked a potential movie.
Yes.
But yeah, there you go.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So last bit of news. As I mentioned up top, Bruce Willis has reached his final form. And people might be like, what does that look like? Because he is the star of a new series of commercials for a Russian phone carrier and internet provider called Megafon. But here's the thing. He's not in it, actually. It uses deep fake technology to put his face on a different bald man, and he sells whatever this is. And it's estimated that he was paid somewhere between $1 and $2 million to literally do nothing. Well, legitimately...
Yep.
He's killing it, man.
Yeah.
He is killing it.
This is the dream. He could do this forever now. Like, he's just...
Yeah, and he will.
Yeah, yeah. He's just, like, sending his digital avatar around the world like a little genie, just getting in ad campaigns and stuff, riding motorcycles off bridges and, you know, just appearing in supermarkets and surprising a housewife who's deciding on dishwashing detergent or whatever. Oh, Mr. Willis, you know? Bit of that.
You're talking about like a Brand Power commercial or whatever. The Australian infomercial.
Yes. That would be great.
Loosely disguised as news or whatever.
But this has always been his dream.
Definitely. Oh, maybe not always, but in the last 10 years at the very least. But you know what? If somebody was like $1 million to put your face on someone, whatever, I don't give a shit. Of course. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I mean, George Clooney has long been, like, when I think of, you know, brand recognition, I'm always like, well, George Clooney's like Mr. Nespresso or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, celebrities take these deals all the time. And obviously now they can't, he can't be flown to Russia to do whatever this is. So why not use the technology that's available, you know?
I it's going to be interesting to see how, because I haven't seen this particular, like, I couldn't find it yet. I don't know whether it hasn't been done yet or hasn't been released, but it's going to be interesting about how realistic it can look, because you kind of have to get somebody. It's not just about replacing a face. You need someone with, like, the same head structure.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Because otherwise it looks really quite odd.
Uh-huh.
But I honestly, I don't think it really matters, really, because it's a fucking phone carrier in Russia. Yeah. Like, what does it have to look like?
But it's also fascinating, like, as a, that's fascinating to me, because it, you know, at the very least, George Clooney probably has a Nespresso machine in his house. Like, is Bruce Willis getting a, like, a Russian, you know, just some sort of,
I think he's getting $1 to $2 million.
I guess that's what he's getting. But like, do you look, you know, like, maybe you look at the Nespresso ad and you're like, oh, Clooney's liking that coffee, maybe it's good coffee or whatever. But are you like, oh, Bruce Willis is lovering the coverage of this this Russian telecommunications company. Maybe I'll get their Wi-Fi or something.
Well, that's an interesting point, because, like, there has to be a tipping point for this where he does so much of this that he's worthless.
Yes.
Like, as a brand, as I don't mean, like, as a brand for, like, making stuff like this, but I mean just, like, making movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he could be in, like, a big movie, but people are like, this isn't a draw at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I think you couldn't now market, like, for lack of a better example, the movie Hearts War. Did you ever see it?
I didn't see Colin Hearts Farrell, War.
Bruce Willis.
Oh, sure.
German internment camp.
Yeah.
World War II movie or whatever. Like, he couldn't make that now.
Yeah.
Because not to the movies, at least. Do you know what I mean? Because no one's going to see that.
You couldn't make Cosmic Sin, a movie that he was in for 15 minutes, maybe last year or this year or something, and it's science fiction or something, and they're on a spaceship or something, or a space station. You couldn't make that these days.
You couldn't make it.
Couldn't make it.
No, you really couldn't. No. Mm.
Do you, would he, so I also haven't seen the ad, but I think maybe I've seen a still or something. Does he speak, like, English and then they?
I don't know. I've no idea.
Because that's even one more step removed. Or maybe they just, maybe Bruce Willis has, like, a Russian, like, dub guy. Like he always has the same voice actor like they often do. So maybe it's a payday for this guy as well.
Yeah, you might absolutely be right. Also, like, it wouldn't be hard to get him to record the dialogue via, say, something like this.
Yeah.
And then have whoever's doing the face of him on set just mouth it at the same time and then switch it. Like, it's not that difficult to do. But honestly, I don't think it matters whether his voice is in it or not. I don't think it matters if he's in it, and neither does he, apparently. Anyway, good on him. Anyways, let's talk the topic for this week, Mason.
Yes.
Because this topic is movies in one place. Trapped in one place, potentially. They're also called bottle movies, you know, so it's one location. Mm-hmm. We're talking movies, something like Saw, the first Saw, for example. It's mostly set inside that one room, not entirely, and like a looser idea of that might be something like 10 Cloverfield Lane, where it's one location, but it's not necessarily one room, for example.
How should we rank these, James? I feel like we should rank them.
Oh, okay.
Or perhaps rate them.
I feel like you're asking me in this, but you already have an idea. So you're pretending to be like, let's spitball this. But you're going to come in and go, actually, I've given this a lot of thought.
Well, I mean, first of all, we're going to list them. Perhaps we could list them in size order. Obviously, we can either start smallest or go smallest, whichever is more anxiety inducing for you.
Well, do you think? I was going to say, do you think then, if without, that would involve me having to put my list in some kind of order before we start talking, or do we try and find the biggest and the smallest as we go?
Yeah, we do that. Yeah. And also, what's important about this, what the other important thing is, any rules we make at the start will invariably collapse.
Yeah.
You know, 5 to 10 minutes in, so it really doesn't matter. But I just wanted to, you know, it's just the idea of, like, a man stuck in a phone booth for 90 minutes is funny. But is it funnier at the start, or do we keep getting smaller and smaller? I think it's funnier. I think it's funnier the smaller you get. And but I also think we should rate these in terms of, like, would we not like to exist in this universe, or would we rather be in this movie than in our current state of Victoria? You know,
that's a great point,
isn't it?
Do you have
though?
A particular one that you did you like to start off with? So you don't want to start off small because I think I've got the smallest one at the top of our list.
You do. Okay, let's start small. Let's James, we should do. We start out small.
Yep.
And then we should expand the space. You know. Because that's relaxing, yeah. I think. That's fun and relaxing.
I agree. Well, if you look at the very last one on the list, the space is quite vast.
Big space.
Look at the very last one.
Yes.
Anyway, we'll get into it.
Okay, well, the smallest space you could be trapped in a bottle movie is in the movie Buried, which is a Ryan Reynolds movie.
Yeah, this is the one that first came to mind for me when I think. Because I don't think it goes outside of, you don't know, spoilers for all of these. Uh-huh. And also this one is set just inside a coffin.
Yes.
And that is it.
James, to be clear, it's set in a casket.
Sorry.
A coffin is what a Dracula sleeps in. He's in a casket. It's square on all sides.
You're right. So he's in the Middle East maybe or something or somewhere else. I don't really remember. Uh-huh. And he's buried alive. He's got a cell phone, a lighter. A snake pays him a visit at one point. But other than that, he's very much on his own.
And I'm not just talking about the snake in the game Snake on his mobile phone. A real snake.
No, absolutely not. So it's about him trying to work out where he is, conserve energy.
Yeah.
Like he's got a lighter for light, but if he uses it, it burns the oxygen in the...
Yeah. What's interesting about this movie is it's from only 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But also it's in an era where you wouldn't be... It wouldn't boggle your mind that Ryan Reynolds is in this movie.
Because
to the best of my remembrance, there are no laughs in this movie. Like, it's not a...
No.
The guy in the coffin, sorry, casket.
Mason, coffin is where Dracula sleeps.
But he's not goofing. There's no references. Like, Ryan Reynolds from this point has made a choice, and it is, I'm a self-referential goofy guy and I'm making jokes and memes on the internet.
That's true.
But we've all forgotten about Buried, which is not a fun movie at all, but I remember really enjoying it. Not as a...
Me too. And it's own...
Yeah.
No, it's horrifying.
Yes.
If you have any kind of claustrophobia, it is probably one of the worst ones on this list. But that reminds me, because speaking of Ryan Reynolds, he's married to Blake Lively and she's in the movie The Shallows, which is mostly set on a rock while a shark circles her. I just remembered that one. Have you
there
seen
you
that
go.
One?
Do you think that's how they met?
I mean, probably not.
No, I think James, they were at some sort of Hollywood photo call, and the person taking the photos was like, okay, everybody line up via height. No, wait, I've changed my mind. Everybody line up by if you've been in a movie where you're trapped somewhere. And they were like, oh, just us two. Just us two and
just us.
Just us two and Tim Robbins. Tim Robbins is over there. And Colin Farrell, he's there.
He's there too, yeah. So, you know, those ones are good. But you might have seen this. It's recently on Netflix. It's a French language film, but it has been dubbed in English. It's called Oxygen.
Oh.
And it's set in some kind of, without spoiling it, this woman wakes up with no memory in like a futuristic like stasis chamber.
Okay.
And it's like Buried, but it's like some holographic interfaces. And again, it's trying to find out where she is and how to get out and all of these other kinds of things going on. Yeah.
But
it's very good.
Okay. How did you stumble upon this?
I think I saw it on Netflix.
Oh. had a compelling thumbnail, did it?
It may have. I remember I think it's also one of those things that might get actually spoilt in the...
On the synopsis,
the
right.
thumbnail
yeah, yeah.
or whatever, or the trailer.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't spoiled for me going in, and I talked about Unsuggestible, my less successful podcast that I do with my wife. But
oh, yes.
If you liked Buried, I think there's a very good chance you'll also like Oxygen. You can also switch it to English language if you don't want to read subtitles. So, you know.
Very good.
You know, Mason.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm gonna put that on my list, and by that I mean just refer to your list that you emailed me. So, pretty handy. It's very
pretty handy.
Handy.
What's the next thing on our list? And by our list, I mean the list that I emailed you.
Well, James, if we're going by size as we are currently, and we're not breaking this format until we've just said the next one, and then we'll probably just break the format because after that, most of these are kind of the same size-ish anyway.
Sure.
Phone Booth. With Colin Farrell, which is set, for the most part, within the confines of a phone booth.
Yeah.
Isn't that fun?
It is, and it's like it's a sniper scenario for those people who don't remember. Colin Farrell is going to call his he's married, but he's got a girlfriend maybe or something. I don't know. So he's at the phone booth and he's like, this is how my wife doesn't find out that I'm going to do a cheating on her. That's what I'm going to do. And then Kiefer Sutherland's like, you step out of that phone booth, I'm going to shoot you so many times or whatever. And it becomes this psychological cat and mouse game between the phone booth, Colin Farrell, and Kiefer Sutherland. Doesn't it?
It's interesting that Colin Farrell's character's nickname is the phone booth, isn't it, in this movie? We forgot to do the one thing we said we were going to do. Would you rather be living currently in the state of Victoria where we're under a lockdown, but you can leave to get like you get groceries or like go to work or like go to the doctor or like, see one friend or, you know, do some exercise or whatever.
Yeah.
Or would you rather be trapped in a casket that's been buried underground and you're losing oxygen and you're going to get bombed or whatever?
Is a snake going to get in?
To your house in real life, yes.
No, in the coffin. Like, the events of the movie Buried, like, play out? Can I be like, I've seen this movie and I know what's going to happen? Anyway, no, I don't want to be in a coffin.
Okay. It was a trick question. Nobody would want to be in one. And also, it's a casket. Okay, great.
I also don't want to be in the shallows or the movie Oxygen as much.
Okay.
Of the three, I'd take Oxygen.
James, that's a spoiler for me and the movie Oxygen, because now
that's
I know
good point.
That you would. Now I know that you wouldn't want to be in the oxygen room in the movie Oxygen.
But it's got a little holographic interface, so you can watch
You
can watch the movie Oxygen while you're trapped in the movie Oxygen.
Oh, on Netflix probably.
On Netflix probably. So yeah, there you go.
Wow.
So yeah, what did you like Phone Booth? I've seen it once. I remember liking it.
Yeah, I like Phone Booth a lot.
Yeah. Is Forrest Whitaker in that?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
See, the guy's like, get out of the phone booth. He's like, I can't. They're going to shoot me. Don't shoot me.
That's the one.
And then Kiefer Sutherland, to spoil the movie Phone Booth at the end, I hope you learnt a lesson because I'm going around the city shooting people. And I hope I've taught you a lesson, Colin Farrell.
I'm going to shoot all kinds of people, phone booth or no phone booth. You thought you'd escape me just by not being in a phone booth in future, but maybe I'll shoot you not in a phone booth. Colin Farrell.
You better watch out.
I also have a persistent memory of the actor Powers Booth being in this movie, but that's only because I invented a fake movie called Phone Booth from a phone booth, which in order to escape a sniper, Colin Farrell has to call up Powers Booth and convince him to come down and negotiate. That's a deep cut from a long time ago. So what's a less grim?
I would take, of all the three, of all the ones up that we've had so far, I'd probably take Phone Booth. At least you got a bit of air, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't have a shark circling me. And I reckon I could outthink Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, you think so?
I'd be like, Kiefer Sutherland, your star before 24 had dipped quite dramatically. You know what I mean? It was Lost Boys and Young Guns 1 and 2.
Yeah.
You kind of disappeared for a bit.
Yeah.
And you're only in this movie because 24 picked up steam. But, you know, at that point, you're really just a TV actor. And they've put you in for a bit part in this movie. He'd probably shoot me at that point.
wait, don't shoot me. In future, you're going to be the voice of Solid Snake in the Metal Gear franchise. You're going to be replacing Troy Baker or someone. I don't know. Whoever's the voice of Solid Snake before you.
David Hayter.
Screenwriter and voice actor David Hayter. Isn't that a fun fact? I'm keeping you going with fun facts so you don't shoot me.
I agree. Speaking of bottle movies, what do you think about this? The Gods Must Be Crazy.
Oh, that's funny because there's a literal bottle in it. Do you really have that on this list? You don't have it on here. That's one of your funny jokes.
It's on my list.
That's one of your funny jokes. Oh, do you have James? You son, do you have a fake list which you've sent to me, and also your own list which has little funny jokes in it? That is James.
There's at least one, Mason.
James, that is, let me say, delightfully devilish. I'm enjoying that immensely.
Good. So The Gods Must Be Crazy is about a guy from an African tribe and somebody drops a Coke bottle and then it like screws up society.
Uh-huh.
He's like tribal society, so he goes to return it or something, doesn't he? And there's also a sequel.
Yes.
And it's mostly just like, isn't society strange and whatever, you know? And I remember they made us watch it at school and I remember being like, this isn't very good.
Isn't it a bit rude?
Why are we watching this?
I think I've seen...
it's a bit rude.
I think I've only seen maybe like minutes of it, but aren't there like naked natives and stuff in that movie?
Yeah, but I think at that point it's like, you know, it's as it is in like a documentary where it's like it's educational or whatever.
I see.
You know what I mean?
Okay, James, would you rather live...
Oh, my God. It's
it's
9 years between one and two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
For those movies. And then there's a movie called Crazy Safari.
Okay.
Which is also might be known as Gods Must Be Crazy 3. I wonder what they drop out of a plane in the other movies. Fascinating. Anyway, what do you got on your list?
My list or the insane joke list that you've invented, James? Okay,
no, your list.
Oh, I see. Okay, but would you rather live in the land of the gods must be crazy?
I guess. Because he's not really trapped, is he?
No, and it's a tropical paradise, one would assume.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, great.
And you got a Coke bottle. It's pretty good.
Sure. You could start a band.
I would too.
Yeah. Okay, James, how about this?
I'm ready.
What about The Breakfast Club? We're trapped, but we're trapped in detention.
Yeah. That's interesting because bottle movies don't always have to be we're trapped in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dire situation. That's really about life and love and geeks and jocks and yes. Whatever.
Well, isn't that just life and love?
You know, and certainly. But it's a good kind of teen movie of its year. I think it still mostly holds up, doesn't it?
I think it does, yeah.
To be fair, I haven't seen it in 20 years.
Can I ask you this, James? Mm. How many detentions did you get in high school?
Man, I got so many fucking detentions. Like, you wouldn't believe. I got detention on my first day of high school ever.
Nice.
Like, straight away, first class, walked in, got a detention. For, like, talking.
Is this because you followed the rule of high school, which is as soon as you go in high school, you find the biggest guy and you punch him just to prove your dominance?
Yeah, that's
right.
And
that was the teacher?
And it was me. I punched myself because I was the biggest guy and I got a detention. No, I think it was like, my school was very weird about, like, getting people in line in like year seven, which is the first year of school, and they make you line up in silence out the front in lines of two,
uh-huh.
Like your children,
yeah.
Which I guess you are,
uh-huh.
And then walk in silence and stand behind your desk in silence. And then when the teacher says you can sit down, you can sit down. And I'm like, what the fuck kind of situation is this? Like, what are we, what was this like the school from fucking, what, that Robin Williams school, whatever that school is, that, you know, that school movie?
Aladdin School.
Dead Poets Society.
Oh,
yeah, it's like, this isn't as fancy a school as you think it is.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I said something to the person next to me, just like, I don't know what's up with this. And they're like, detention! You've been detentioned.
Whoa.
So I think I got made an example of.
Whoa.
So yeah, I got so many detentions.
My goodness.
How many detentions? But it was also like, it was always for little things. It was never like, I fucking cut someone in the face with a box cutter or something. But what about you? Did you ever get any detentions?
Yeah, just a lot of box cutter incidents I had. That's my issue, yeah. I think I had one once, but I can't remember. I think we talked about The Matrix recently. I think I ditched school to see The Matrix the second time.
And they found out?
No. These are separate incidents. I got away scot-free for The Matrix.
Nice.
Don't even worry about it. I do remember one time in high school, they brought in, I think this would have been year nine because we're, you know, year nines are the worst.
Yeah.
They brought us all in to an assembly in order to like, tell us how good a job we were all doing with something or other, or like
okay.
You know, how it was basically like a will, like bring you in here like a State of the Union address kind of thing of like, hey, just letting you know everything, whatever. But nobody would settle down, so we ended up like just locked into this place for like 2.5 hours. It was like this kind of
like this weird standoff.
There was a standoff because like. They'd be like, okay, like whoever was controlling the assembly was just like, we will not begin until there's absolute silence. And then there was absolute silence. And then somebody would be like, and then it would just, the cycle would continue. And then we just.
And it would all start and everyone would arc up. And then people would be like, just shut up, we'll get out of here.
But it was like, we stayed like till like 5 o'clock. It was the.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You can't even, I don't even think you're legally allowed to do that.
It's a Christian Brothers school, man. You know what they're like.
Oh, yeah, I guess so, yeah. I do know what they're like.
Mm-hmm.
One time, I think it was year 10, I skipped so much school that they made me come back for 3 days in the holidays. they brought me back to school.
I thought you were going to say I skipped so much school that they named the concept of skipping school after me. They're like, hey, are you doing a Clement? Hey, kid.
Are you doing the Jimmy run around? But, you know, and I wasn't even a bad student, really. Like, I got okay grades or whatever. Uh-huh. It was just by year 10. I'm like, I'm fucking sick of this.
Yeah.
But look, I didn't really do it much after that. But one of the things was like, I'm not going to crack. I'm not going to mention anybody else.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to apologize, which is like a very teenager thing to do. And they're like, you don't seem to be showing any remorse. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. I didn't go to school and now I'm back here. Like, what do you want? I'm not going to, like, fuck, I'm sorry, I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
Anyway, I was a prick. I was a bad bloke.
Wow.
And still am, in a way.
Well, then, James, I think...
Anyway, what are we up to?
James, I think you would fit in very well in The Shawshank Redemption.
Wow.
Because you didn't You didn't rat out your fellow man, which is probably something that happens in that movie, or not. I don't know. But they're trapped in a room, aren't they?
They're trapped in many rooms. I mean, it's one big room, yeah, in a way, with lots of walls that's, you know, in between that bigger room to make even smaller rooms, yeah, that they're in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, that movie was famously not a hit when it came out, you know what I mean? But it very quickly became like everybody's favourite movie in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know what? It probably gets a bit of like, you know, it's a bit of a joke now, whatever, that it's like everybody's favorite movie because it's so basic and whatever. Uh-huh. But it's genuinely a very good movie.
They're very, very true, yeah. And you know, it's one of the few movies that, you know, certain men will be like, yeah, I watched it and I had a cry. You know, it's
I was happy when he climbed through that shit and made me cry. Made me think about all the shit I climbed through metaphorically. And that time I shit my pants. Sure. Maybe think about two things.
Okay, so James, look, I've got to ask because it's the rules. Would you rather be currently stuck in leafy suburban Melbourne, yep, or trapped for decades in Shawshank Prison?
Can I escape?
Yeah, but there's that fecal river you mentioned earlier. You have to.
Yeah, it's only for a little bit. Mm. But do I make the warden shoot himself after I leave? Like, is he like, oh no, and he shoots himself?
Yeah, but it's unrelated.
Okay, did my wife get murdered by somebody else and I'm blamed for the murder because they think I'm jealous because she had an affair? Did that happen?
No. You got put in Shawshank because you skipped school too many times. Like, it's what happened.
Now?
Yeah, yeah.
They come back for
they
me.
They came back for you because you know how, you know, like if you don't pay your library fines, they mount up.
Yeah.
Well, what happened is they heard you skipped school and then you didn't get a proper, you didn't get any proper punishment for it, so it's mounted up and they're like, you're getting 20 years in Shawshank for this. So Claire's fine.
I'd probably do this, to be honest.
This thing where we're currently having fun and recording a podcast.
Yeah.
I would too,
because I also get money for this.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you get any money in Shawshank. Though at the end he does get money, doesn't he?
That's
but
true.
Anyway, it's neither here nor there. Good movie. What about the movie Cube, Mason?
Oh, yes.
It's set in, well, it's not technically set in one room, but it's filmed in one room.
That's true.
So it's just a series of puzzles that they have to solve and get out of the cube. They're in a cube, but they're also in a bigger cube.
That's true.
And they have to escape the cube. Yeah. I only recently watched it, though, and I've heard the second one's not good, but the third one, which might be a prequel, is good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I did recently watch a similar movie called The Platform, also on Netflix. Do you know about this one?
I've heard the name, but I don't know anything about it.
So it's like a prison that's like 300 levels or something.
Okay.
And it's a comment on like, it's a commentary on like how the system works in the 1%. Uh-huh. Basically, if you're up near the top,
yes,
there's a big platform like of food.
Oh, yes.
That goes down and on every level, mm-hmm, people, you know, take more and more food until it gets down to the lower levels and there's nothing left.
Yeah, right.
So it's that thing of like, you know, people say that like big corporations, if you give them money, it trickles down to the people underneath when in reality it doesn't. Oh. They just hoard all the wealth. And that's what it's really about. So it's a metaphor for food, but it's not food. I mean, it's a metaphor for wealth.
Okay, but it is food. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous premise, but, you know, it's interesting. It's like a pretty compelling movie.
Wouldn't the people at the very bottom platform, wouldn't they die very quickly?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. So you have to survive 30 days and then they move you to another random level, right? And like the other thing is sometimes like you kill your cellmate and eat them for 30 days or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just like.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Whatever. Uh-huh. So that's where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I would rather not be in the cube. I don't think I would survive very well in the cube environment really, because you need special skills.
I wouldn't want to puzzle it out. I don't. My math is not that good.
Well, exactly.
I skipped all that school.
That's true. Same. Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah.
That's okay. What about this one though, Mason?
Go on.
Message in a Bottle. Message in a Bottle, starring Kevin Costner and Robin Wright.
I have absolutely.
It's a rom-com from 1999.
I have absolutely not seen this, and I'm quite frankly insulted.
It's a bottle movie.
I'm quite frankly insulted. Oh, I see where you're going with that. I was furious that you thought I might have seen that, but then it's and I should have checked. It's not on my list, but it's on your list full of fun jokes. So good work, James.
That's right. Yeah. So it's about, I think it's about a husband who maybe his wife died and he sent a message. I don't fucking know. It's not a real one. This is one that I haven't seen, but maybe you have. I'm just jumping around to you. My Dinner with Andre.
Uh-huh.
You seen that? I've been meaning to watch that for years.
I've seen it many, many years ago. So
yeah,
I don't know if I can help you with that one.
Okay then.
Yeah.
But it's just a conversation, isn't it? But I've seen the Community episode that it's, you know, the base that's based upon it. But there's a couple on here that I haven't seen that I do want to see.
Go on.
That one I haven't seen. I haven't seen Original Sleuth, which you have seen, I think you talked about recently.
Oh, with Michael Caine, yes.
That's right. And I also haven't seen 12 Angry Men, shockingly, which I do need to see. You seen 12 Angry Men?
Are you saying shockingly because you are yourself an angry man? Is that why it's shocking
yeah,
you haven't
right.
seen it?
And I'm a connoisseur of rage. So yeah.
A lot of people upon meeting you, they're like, damn, James, you're a real number eight of the 12 Angry Men. You're a real number eight personality type, they say. And you got me like, I've got to see that movie. Would you like to, here's a question for you though, James.
Yeah.
Would you, if it got you out of the house, would you be on a jury right now?
Absolutely not.
Really?
I did it once.
Yes.
When I was 19 and I fucking hated it. It was awful. Like, it was awful because the case was involved like a refugee who'd been treated terribly and been forced to like run drugs by a terrible husband. I don't want to get into the details of it, but it like swung between boring for days and then horrible and graphic and like hearing about abuse and then back to boring and then back to graphic. And it lasted like 8 days, like 8 work days of like my holidays.
Okay, right.
I was like 19.
Okay.
And like everybody's in the jury's like, well, what about this or whatever? And they're like, you know, trying to puzzle this thing out or whatever. And it's like reasonable doubt. If you think that there's any chance that, you know, that this thing didn't really happen, then let's fucking wrap it up and let this woman go, which was what ended up happening, which was good. But no, I can get out of jury duty also because I'm self-employed.
Oh, I see.
I'd never have to do it again, but I hated it.
James, you could still make videos on jury duty. You could be like, what's up, guys? It's me. I'm on a jury. Like and subscribe.
The other thing is your work is technically supposed to pay your wages get called up, right? But I worked for McDonald's at the time casually. So McDonald's are just like, well, we weren't going to give you those shifts anyway.
Yeah,
so
right.
I just didn't get paid. And you get like $20 a day or whatever the fuck. So it was just, I didn't like it at all. And if you cannot do it, don't do it. And you also don't know what you're going to get. I could have got a case that lasted 6 months.
That's true.
Like, you know?
What if it was like, what if it was like a funny crime?
No, it's still boring.
What if somebody like, they like hijacked a forklift and they like drove it through a supermarket like a bunch of times?
I mean, that's funny.
Yes.
And you can see the footage of that. But once you've seen the initial footage, there's not really much else to do. I could see that on YouTube.
I guess that's probably true, yeah. You're right.
And I have to sit in a jury fucking box for 12 days.
Well, I just want to say for the record that if anybody out there who's working the random jury duty machine out there in Australia, in Victoria, and you've discovered a funny crime and you'd like somebody to adjudicate on a funny crime, funny, not serious, funny crime.
Yep.
And you've already lined up like some colourful characters to be the other jurors.
Hit me up.
Bring me in, coach. I'll do it. I'll be there.
Would you? So you'd be actually keen to do it?
Yeah, because I've never done one.
No, you'll regret it. Believe me, you'll instantly regret it.
Great.
I'm telling you.
All right.
I remember also because there's multiple levels that you got to go through. This is boring. We should wrap this up. That you got to get to before you get in the actual jury box. So you get called up once and then you go to like a next level and then you get selected for the jury and then they can knock you back.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so I got up there. It's like, you know, got past the first step, second step. And then they're like, now we're going to pull out of you 50 or whatever. We're going to pull 12 random names. And I'm like, please not me, please not me, please not me. And I was literally like the first name called. And I'm like, fuck. And nobody challenged me because they're just like, this is some kid. Like, who gives a shit like, if he's on this or not? So, yeah, there you go. Fun.
Yeah.
What about the movie Bottle Rocket?
Because there's a bottle in the title.
I've never seen it. Is it a bottle movie? I mean, it is technically. But what do you think?
I don't think it's a bottle movie, James, no.
I mean, it technically is because it's called Bottle Rocket.
I see. I see what you're doing
there.
That's
all I'm saying.
That's your fun joke. I like
that. Yeah.
No, that was good.
Did you see, or you have seen, The Man from Earth, which is not so much like they're trapped,
yes,
like physically, but they're trapped by a man's compelling narrative.
That's true.
They're
yeah.
telling him a story.
Yeah, yeah.
He's telling the story. Have you seen the sequel?
In a way, that's our spiritual inspiration, James, because we craft such a compelling narrative that people don't want to switch off their podcast devices. Yeah, I have seen the sequel. It's not a bottle movie anymore. And I still think it's interesting and worth a watch. And it is free on Amazon Video, I think.
Okay,
but there are.
Is it like a wine rack of a movie?
What does that mean? Oh, I see, because there's a lot of bottles. I see. Is that also, did you come up with that just now? Or did you, that's very good.
That's a Jimmy Clement original, mate.
It's very good. Wow. You pulled a Jimmy Clement. I loved it. Some of the acting is not great. I think they've gotten like some student actors in, like it's a kind of a low budget situation because it's set around like a school again, but it's like, you know, students are, I think it's still kind of compelling. The main guy's very good in it, I think. So,
yeah.
Mm.
And he looks kind of like the guy from The Pretender, and you can't take that away from him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might even be the same guy, but I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either.
You recommended this one, and I watched this recently, also talked about Unsuggestible, but The Guilty is Swedish or something.
Oh, yes.
And it's set entirely in a 911, like, emergency center thing.
That's true, yeah.
Is it not?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good.
It's a good one.
That's on, I think, did you watch on SBS On Demand?
Yeah, I think I did. But it might be on Prime or something.
It's interesting because we've got here, you know, we've got Buried, we've got Phone Booth, we've got The Guilty. It's interesting how your mind fills in the gaps. Like you would think that if you suggested these as like radio plays or like an audio narrative or something like that, I'd be like, yeah, cool. But if you told me the plot of some of these and said it's a movie, my instinct would be to be that sounds very dull. And so it's, you know, a credit to all of these that they're not dull. Yeah. Or maybe that's a credit to our wonderful imaginations.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Do you want me to just run through a few more?
Zip through a few.
Just rattle them off.
Yeah.
So the movie Room, which is mostly set in a room, but not entirely set in a room. It's more of a wine rack situation, isn't it, Mason?
Okay, but James, would you like to be in that room?
No, fuck no.
Yep.
I'd murder that guy. He'd come in. I'd strangle him, mate.
So you would like to be in that room just for purposes of murdering?
Yeah. He'd come in expecting Brie Larson and a little boy, and it'd be me, and I'd strangle him.
Would you be dressed as the little boy?
No, I'd just be waiting and be like, hey, what's up? And I'd fucking strangle
him. Yeah, nice. Good, 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 great, nice.
And then...
Oh, James, we should have... Jeez, see, the problem here, James, is this is what happens all the time, is we get 3/4 of the way through the thing we're going to be talking about, and then we hit the real gold. We strike the oil, which is, if you were in any of these situations, could you have prevented what was happening from just strangling a guy?
And a lot of
for
these
some
you
of
could.
These, maybe. Yeah, I reckon you could. I mean, you could have strangled Andre in My Dinner with Andre. You could have just strangled that guy. Yeah, they would have sent you to jail, but you would have gotten out of the dinner party, I tell you that much.
I'd strangle that snake in Buried.
Yeah, you would strangle the snake. Yeah.
Could you strangle the Rock from 127 Hours? Probably not, because you've got one arm.
Yeah, I've only got the one arm, yeah.
Yeah, two arms, maybe.
You need to get it in the crook of your elbow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe you could get it in a leg lock.
Yeah, you could. What about the movie Misery? You strangle that woman?
Yeah, you'd strangle Kathy Bates. You strangle her real good.
Yeah, he bashes her head in with a typewriter, I think.
Yeah.
I've never seen the movie Clue, but that's one. What else we got here? The Count of Monte Cristo.
I'm just imagining all the characters from Clue. They've all gotten together in a room. Professor Plum and Colonel Mustard and or Princess Peach and whoever they are, and they're all like, I think the killer was James. And you they turn and it's just you're just strangling somebody else.
Strangling Tim Curry in the corner.
You're just everybody's in their suits and hats and day dresses, and you're just in your hoodie, just strangling a guy.
So have you seen the Count of Monte Cristo one with Jim Caviezel? Like a large portion of that is set in a prison cell with with Dumbledore, original Dumbledore, Richard Harris.
Yeah,
Richard Harris.
Uh huh.
It's really good. Or I remember it being really good. And he wants to get revenge for being put in a cell. It's a great revenge movie. And Henry Cavill, I think it's his first performance in that, actually. He's like a very young Henry Cavill.
Is this...
Yeah.
This isn't the Guy Pearce Count of Monte Cristo, man.
That's exactly the one I'm talking about.
Huh. I don't remember anybody being in that movie besides Guy Pearce. So
it's a bunch of people in it. It's a movie, Mason. It's a bunch of people.
No, that is a testament to the acting ability of Guy Pearce.
That's true.
Or the acting ability of all those other actors, because I didn't recognize them.
I can rattle off the cast. Mm-hmm. So it's Richard Harris, Henry Cavill. Louise Guzman's in it.
Oh.
Louise Guzman.
Yes.
Michael Wincott, who looks a lot like, you know Michael Wincott. You'd know him.
I don't.
Anyway, he's in things. You do. You definitely do. He's in Alien 4. It's the only thing I could think of that he's in, but it's not the only thing that he's in.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck else is he in? Helen McCroy's in it. Yeah, there's a lot of people in it. He's in he's in so much stuff. You definitely know him. Anyway, Green Room is set in a green room.
That's
with
true.
Nazis, yeah. Also.
That's a good movie, and it's one of the last movies from the late Anton Yelchin, so people should check that out.
That's it.
And Patrick Stewart's in it as well.
Patrick Stewart's in it, yeah. Maybe Imogen Poots, maybe. 1408, which is about The Devil Runs a Room. Speaking of The Devil Runs a Room, I nearly forgot to put this on the list. I'm going to mention it now. Remember Devil?
The one set in a lift.
Is it called? Yes.
The M. Night Shyamalan movie set in a lift, sure.
Yeah, but it's not him. It's like he produces it or something.
Okay.
But it's a 2010 horror film where there's like five strangers in an elevator and one of them is literally the devil.
Yes.
You've got to kind of puzzle it out. It's quite fun.
What would you do in that situation, James? Who would you strangle?
I'd strangle the devil.
It's good to see your instincts are still good. I thought maybe your instincts had, you know, wasted away in quarantine, but... It's good to know.
I end up strangling the guy from the Mindy Project, who I think is also in that movie or whatever. I bet there's a moment in that film, but I don't really remember, but where the elevator starts like dropping wildly and the numbers spin.
Oh, and says 666.
And then it goes to 666.
Maybe.
It has to, right?
Probably, yeah.
So,
if this movie's a hacky piece of garbage, sure.
The movie The Descent?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Set in a cave system, I guess. And The Descent 2. Snowpiercer?
Uh-huh.
Set on a train.
Sure. The bottle of the rails is what they call a train. So
yes,
that makes
right.
a lot of sense.
Yeah. The movie Sideways.
What? Oh, because there's bottles. Oh, I see. You've done it again, James. You've got me every time. Every single time.
Thank you. That was my last one.
Oh, was it?
There's apparently a 2014 movie called Lock, which stars Tom Hardy, and it's about him being trapped in a car.
There's also a Robert Pattinson movie where he's in a car the entire time.
Oh,
he's in a limousine.
And then it ends up being 9/11 or something?
Yes.
At the end?
Yes. Spoilers.
We're past that point. Speed is mostly set on a bus.
That's true.
I guess any movie set on a boat is also technically a bottle.
Now, James, I have a question about this one here. Is what's the movie Reservoir Dogs, James? What's Reservoir
Sorry,
Dogs?
Mate.
What is that like Reservoir that... Dogs? Is that what it is, James?
Why did that not come up as a spelling error?
Don't know. Potentially you've spelled it that so many times that it's just like, I guess this is what he likes. So,
I mean, is it not doing it in your? Is it not? Oh, no, it wouldn't be, would it?
Because it's an email.
No, actually, sorry, in my list it's been corrected.
Ah.
So I must have sent over the pre-corrected list. Mm. I also put that in The Hateful Eight,
which is
they're both bottle films. And the last one I've got is All Is Lost, which is a Robert Redford, I'm Stuck in a Boat movie, which I guess you could put in Castaway as well. I guess, Mason.
Would you like to be stuck in a boat with Robert Redford for a bit? You would love that. You would love to have
Fuck
a chat.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I'd be like, tell me all about Butch Cassidy. And he's like, I already told you about Butch Cassidy. I'll be like, well, tell me about The Sting then.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, fine, I'll tell you about The Sting. Nice. And then I'll be like, tell me about the Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid prequel movie that they made. And he's like, I'm not in that. I had nothing to do with it. And I'm like, tell me about it. What do you know?
I only know. I've seen the ads. I know what's in the ad. Well, tell me about it. Tell me about it, Robert Redford.
I haven't even seen the ads. that's great.
Yeah.
He's probably retired or he isn't. I can't remember where he's at with his retirement at the moment. Anything else?
That's bloody everything, I think.
Do you reckon you could get out of that All Is Lost movie by strangling Robert Redford, but you're still stuck in the middle of the ocean at that point? So who are you strangling?
Well, I could use
the stars for leading you astray.
I could use my knowledge of the movie The Platform, and I could eat Robert Redford, and that would sustain me for 30 days, I think, and then I'd probably get rescued.
It's a good point.
Yeah,
it's a great point, actually.
Thank you.
All right, should we move to the next segment of the show?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, I actually know what it's called already.
Oh yes, go on.
It's called What We Reading.
Go on.
What We're Gonna Read.
Oh.
And here's the theme song.
Oh, very exciting.
Here we go. I'm doing the theme.
Westworld.
Goodness. My goodness, Mason. What have you been Westworlding this week?
Well, I think maybe we mentioned this off-air last week. Have we both read the Batman 89 comic book?
Yes. Well, you have both read it at this point. Well, I've read it. Have you read it?
Yeah, I've read it. Yeah, I've read Don't worry, James. I've read it.
What I also think was very misleading from Batman 89 is it should be like technically like Batman 91 because it's set after both Batman and Batman 89. Oh, wait, Batman Returns came out in... I'll start that again.
Okay, go on.
Batman Returns came out in 1992, and it's set after Batman Returns also.
That's true, yes.
I thought it was set directly after Batman 89. Not that it matters, like, yes. At all.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it does matter for story points, but, yeah, what do you think, anyway?
I liked it. I think it's fun. They've centered Harvey Dent as the, you know, the upcoming... He was obviously, you know, intended to be Two-Face in, you know, if they were going to do... I guess he wasn't really intended to be... The option was there for him to be Two-Face in the movies if they were going to continue in that universe, but, you know, just an...
That was the idea,
an endless parade of sequels was not necessarily, you know, the standard procedure back then, but I think it's great. Yeah. I think they've, like... They've subtly aged everybody up. I think it's really good, yeah.
Very true. I think they've captured William December Williams quite well. Yes. You know what I mean? It's looking good.
Uh-huh.
It's real names.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've got a bit of grey in the temples of Michael Keaton's Batman. And, you know, it's cool. It's cool, right?
It is very cool.
And it's got a lot of like 89, early 90s or whatever era these movies are really set in, like technology kind of worked in, like screens and... audio listening devices bits and pieces like that. It's pretty cool, man.
Been watching Star Trek Lower Decks is back. So the first two episodes have been...
I've been watching that too.
Yeah. It's good fun. They're really... And obviously because, you know, they have an unlimited budget, they can really just... Yes. As compared to, you know, movies or TV shows or what have you, they can really just sort of go buck wild with, you know, giving somebody super cosmic powers or... You know, having a...
Totally.
You know, an enormous space battle or you know, any of those kind of things. It's nice to see... It was good to see Jonathan Frakes back as Riker for an episode. I think that's a lot of fun. As like this...
That's really cool. Yeah.
I like his characterization in the show of just like this... He just rolls with everything. He's just like this super enthusiastic... He's sort of like... what's the character in Futurama? The captain? No pants? What's that guy's name?
Oh, Zap Brannigan.
He's like Zap Brannigan, but like actually skilled at his job.
Competent.
He's competent. Yeah. I think it's a great show.
Well, he also turned up in Discovery, didn't he? Not Discovery. What did he turn up in? Was it Discovery?
No. Do you mean Enterprise?
What was the show? No, he turned up in Picard. That's
yes,
right.
He did.
He was
in
Picard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of times.
Hell yeah.
He put on the tights or whatever they wear in that show. There was the last episode they were in, they go into like a museum, like a curated museum of like all sorts of alien oddities and weapons and trinkets. And I'm watching it. I'm like, man, I bet if I knew a lot about Star Trek, this would be crazy. All of these things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I'm like, I don't know. I don't know any of these references.
Well, there's a famous episode of Next Generation. So there's a new crew member in that episode and he speaks entirely in metaphors. And that was like a classic.
Yeah.
There's like a classic episode of The Next Generation where they can't understand this alien race until they understand that everything they say is like a reference to a previous thing that happened in their culture. So it was like this episode, this 1990s episode of Star Trek that sort of invented meme culture, essentially, it's just like it'd be just like if people talked with just like, you know, holding up Picard doing the face palm, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, it's a great show. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, I agree. It's really good. And I guess, like, for lack of a better example, if you like Rick and Morty, but Star Trek, it's a bit of that.
It is, yeah.
But it's not. Like, that's selling it short to be like, it's just Rick and Morty Star Trek. Because it's not. It's, you know, there's more thought into it than
But there is a there is a little bit of Rick and Morty in there.
Oh, no, definitely. There's definitely some Rick and Morty in about. Now, here's a question for you, and I don't know if you can actually pull this off. Can you play the letters theme or will that disable whatever device you are?
Let's see what happens.
Here we go. He's doing it.
Let's see what happens. I have a new tablet. Let's see where the speakers are on it. Let's see what happens.
But it's just a stone tablet. He doesn't know anything works.
The classic one was the letters. Oh, letters. We love you. Some letters. They're only right now. We're going to do that as...
Now, for me, that was garbly as shit.
Well, maybe it worked.
I hope it was better
maybe
for
it worked.
Everybody else.
Who knows?
Well, that's the thing. The thing...
It's doing other things.
What I'm hearing from you is not how everybody else is going to hear.
No, that's true.
Because we're both recording separate audio tracks. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. Letters is a segment of the show where people write in and they go, hello, we've got a letter for you or a tweet.
Yes.
And you can tweet us at hashtag weeklyplanetpod or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com if you want to shoot a email through to Nick Mason.
Yeah.
Do you have a Gmail this week for us, Nick Mason?
I absolutely do. And also, if you want to email in to us and you want to be like, hey, I would have strangled heaps of people in those movies. Where would you have gone? Are there any bottle universes you'd be like, man, I would love to live in. I would love to live in the ocean of poop in the Shawshank Redemption. You know, let us know.
I mean, there's some scenarios where you couldn't strangle them. Like you can't strangle sniper Kiefer Sutherland.
No, that's
true. Snipe you. You won't get anywhere near him.
It's not the heck out of
you. Anyway, what do you got in terms of letters?
Okay, well this is from Jason Rodman. He says, I did it.
Oh,
hey James and Meso. Jason here, long-time listener, donated a kidney this morning to my brother, the one you don't like,
oh
Mason.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
In agony as I write this, going to be spending the next 6 weeks in recovery while I get used to this empty hole in my body. I'm looking forward to binging some Caravans and Book Club that I've been putting off until this surgery. My question, would either one of you wacky dudes give up your kidney for the other? Especially under the threat of death, of course. Also, can I be the official lack of one kidney boy for the pod? That's from Jason from Kansas.
Wow, great question.
Isn't
I mean,
though?
I guess.
Yeah.
If you really needed one, I would.
Thanks, man. Because mine are Swiss cheese at this point, so I could probably do with one. I mean, just, you know.
But you don't really drink, so
no,
I don't think
true.
I'd be doing you any favours.
Yeah, you know
but
what?
I don't really drink that much anymore either. But.
Look, yes, you could have a kidney if you really needed one, but also the more pertinent question the more pertinent question that I've just realised is I reckon we should do some sort of kidney exam. We'll get some scans done. We'll see whose kidneys are in better shape. Like, just generally.
Because
I don't drink, but they're a wreck anyway. Mm. But you used to drink, and now you don't.
Oh, yeah, because you get kidney stones, yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that mean the kidney stones, like, would affect me if I got to your kidney?
Oh, I don't know.
You can have my gallbladder. They already removed it. I don't know where it is. You have to sift through some medical waste.
Okay, great.
You can have it.
Well, I was going to be doing that anyway. You know, the weekend's coming up, so...
You gotta make the most of your 1 hour of exercise.
That's true, yeah. Sift through some garbage, you know?
I've got a tweet here who says, this is from Pirates of the Caribbean Direct, or at Pirates Direct, who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod, if you guys could pick 6 Marvel characters to be in the next Avengers movie, who would they be? I'm a huge fan of the show. Keep up the absolutely smashing content. Well, I guess, like, the way they're going is it's like it'll be Shang-Chi, it'll be Ironheart, it'll be Anthony Mackie, Captain America.
Uh-huh.
It'll probably be Captain Marvel. Some of the other Captain Marvels maybe as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever's going to be the next Black Panther.
But you keep Hawkeye in there.
You know?
You definitely...
Yeah, why not?
Hawkeye, you know, he's not doing anything else, you know?
Yeah.
He hasn't betrayed any huge government agencies recently and he has to be on the run or whatever. He's just there and
absolutely.
He's like, oh, Captain Marvel, yeah, you sure you can bring down all those Kree spaceships with your laser blasts, but I'll be here firing a tripwire arrow. Don't even worry about it.
That's true. I think also some of the ones I've mentioned are probably young Avengers characters. Like they're
yeah,
going to
yeah.
do both.
Uh-huh.
Like Ironheart will be young Avengers and Hayley Steinfeld, who's Kate Bishop, will probably be in that as well. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have any particular... It's interesting to get a different like set of skills, you know what I mean, in the team, see what they do with it. Yeah.
Because you need... Because that's the thing. Like I also feel like... Again, it you know, and I feel like, you know, even though they've got a lot of movies in production, there's a lot of money and stuff moving around, I feel like what they're also doing is they're kind of, it is kind of like the early movies where they're sort of trying a bunch of new things and seeing what people respond to, and that might sort of lean. So, like, if they wanted to, they could kind of just rebuild the old Avengers, like the classic team, but replace a few people that aren't coming back. Like they could put...
Totally.
They could put the new...
Yeah.
You know, they could put... You know, Anthony Mackie is the new Captain America, but they could also use the Wyatt Russell Captain America if they wanted to.
Yes. I think that'll be a Dark Avengers situation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so that's the thing. I think, yeah. Again, I do think like a lot of the stuff they do is kind of throw out ideas and see what the internet buzzes about and then kind of like...
Yeah.
You know, which is fascinating when you consider it's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. But I think they're like, you know, Oh, people are buzzing. We're seeing a lot of traffic about the Dark Avengers, so yes, let's put that into production kind of thing. So
absolutely. But that's I think that's what they're doing with, what's her name from Seinfeld? Elaine from Seinfeld.
Kramer.
Yeah. Kramer.
I think they should... I think they should bring in... no, because I reckon they should bring in Jarvis the Butler. And I know he was in...
He exists.
Agent Carter. Mm. I think they should time travel him to the present and make him the Butler of Avengers Tower. Just be like, look...
You'd love that.
We don't know what happened. We don't know what happened, but he was driving, you know, Howard Stark's car out of that military installation in Avengers Endgame. And there was a time incident.
Straight into a portal.
Yeah, and he was just in a portal now. Now he's in the modern day. And now they have a butler like in the comics. That's the one thing they've never gotten over. They're like, look, we can do modern, like we can do comic book style costumes. You know, we can give them, you know, crazy origins like in the comics. We don't have to sugarcoat any of this stuff because it's too silly or whatever. Mm. But they've never gone, yeah, the Avengers do have a butler. And he's a real guy and his name's Jarvis. So he put Jarvis on the team. That's what I want.
That's really great. I love that. Or he could. I'd love it if they revealed that he was alive and he's just like 104 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
They make him be the butler, like Harry Osborn's butler from Spider-Man 3 or whatever.
Oh, no.
Have you got another one?
I got a few. This is from
in
Mickey.
In terms of letter?
This Mickey.
My phone's at 20%, by the way.
Your phone is?
Yeah, so yeah, it might cut out at some point. Okay, we'll see how we go.
Yeah. Well, This says, Tales from a Stressed Out New Dad. Hi, James and Meso. My wife and I recently welcomed our first child, and while I would like to tell you that the dulcet sounds of the podcast are the magical key to putting him to sleep, that would be a big fat lie. Fortunately, the back catalogue of the podcast and Big Sandwich is keeping me sane as I pace around the house at 3 a.m. trying to get him to stop wailing, though. Thanks so much for everything, Mickey in Washington, D.C.
Brutal, man. Yeah. It's brutal. It does pass if it's any consolation, and your saviour will be putting in one earbud and holding a baby. That is what you will do for a year and or more. So, yeah. Congratulations, though.
Terrific stuff. I wonder. See, as we approach episode 400, questions start to creep into my brain, James, such as, have we already done this? Did we do this already?
Oh, yeah.
So this is an email from Philip.
I was up to that in episode 6. I was like, can we do this? Can we talk about this?
This is Brand Deals in Movies and TV. Hi, James and Meso. After listening to this week's episode talking about James Bond and his 50 chicken nuggets, I was wondering if you could do an episode covering the worst and most blatant product placements in movies and TV.
We did that, didn't we?
See, that's the question, James.
Yep. Okay, I found it. Okay, episode 190. It's episode 198. 200 episodes ago, we did most blatant movie product placement. So, yes, there you go.
I bet there's more, though. It exists. I bet there's more.
Oh, definitely.
We'll crowdsource
definitely.
It.
Definitely.
We'll get people out. We'll go to the Great Mates Facebook group and we'll say, hey, what didn't we mention in that episode? And we'll do it all again.
Actually, I still have the show notes from that episode.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, here. I can go through and see what list I've got here. Oh, yeah, it's like E.T., Reese's Pizzas, World War Z, Pepsi.
Nice.
iRobot does a lot of Audi things. Yeah. Wow, who knew that I'd actually ever look at one of these old show notes ever again? I knew I saved them for a reason.
Who knew that either of us made show notes? Incredible.
You didn't know? Nope. You thought I was just riffing?
Thought you were riffing.
Mason, I think this is the news this week, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I got a tweet here. Go anyways, on. Yeah, I'd definitely do it again. This is from Locke McGregor, who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I understand that you guys like Neil Blomkamp's work. For those people who don't know, he did District 9 and Elysium and Chappie and a bunch of like Oat Studio stuff on his YouTube channel. And stumbling around Google at 4 a.m, I found he made a new film this year called Demonic. I just want to know if you guys had actually heard about this film or seen it. I'd say no, since it has a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes. I had no idea about this movie. Did you know about this?
I think maybe I'd heard the name and I'm like, oh, I'll check that out. But then somebody was like, hey, maybe they're making a District 10. And I'm like, ooh, more interesting. I'll go this way instead.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
Oh, so that just came out. It came out in July.
Right.
So, yeah. Oh, that's a shame, man, because I really like his movies.
And he directed that.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm.
So, yeah, there you go. Okay. Oh, that sucks. But I know I did see some interviews this week where he was talking about how, like, the process of being, like, his Robocop sequel not getting off the ground or doing his Aliens 5 and whatever.
Yeah,
But I still, like, think he should get one of those properties. Like, even if you don't like Chappie or this movie, apparently,
yeah.
I don't care. Like, he's perfect. I think he is perfect for those properties. And also do District 10. What else, Mason? Or should we let it go?
I got one more email. James, what do you think about that?
Let's find out.
All right, this is Jim.
I'll tell you what I think about after.
This is from Jim.
Hello, Jim.
He says, greetings from the oven that is Phoenix, Arizona.
Hot, hot.
Hi, James and Mason. Here I am. Here I am on my 40th birthday, marveling that I've been on this planet for four decades. This last decade has included so many things, including marriage, kids, a teaching career, and the first and best damn podcast I've ever listened to.
Yes.
Because my drive to my job of teaching high school art is only 20 minutes, I've been able to make the Monday podcast last all week sometimes. It's a great start to my day, makes me laugh, and I often find myself inadvertently speaking in an Australian accent as I talk myself through my morning to-do list. Thank you so very much for what you guys do. Here's to you, gents, from Jim. Can I be the official art teacher of the podcast? Yes, you may.
Absolutely you can.
Yeah.
What are you teaching? What are you up to in art? I want to know some new techniques, Mason.
You're teaching shading? Teaching some shading?
Oh.
Yeah.
Could I draw like an up close like sketch of an eye?
Oh.
Maybe.
What about a ball? But it's like it's a metal ball and it's all.
Oh, it's like shiny.
Yeah, it's shiny.
It's shading.
Yeah, but it's just a pencil. How do you do it? It's magical. Shading.
I don't know how they do it. That's one of my favorite things on Reddit where they'll bring up like a sketch and it looks super realistic and they're like, this was done with a Bic pen. And I'm like, what?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean? That's a photograph.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Nice.
Actually, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into the art section of Reddit and just post a picture of me, a selfie, and be like, I drew this with a pen.
Just a blue Bic pen. So I have it's all in how you hold it. You can make flesh tones.
That's right.
Grey hoodies, etc. Yeah, yeah. Wild.
I just realized I got a lot of detentions and I was a teacher. I don't know what that's about. What does that mean? What does that mean, Mason?
James, are you saying you got a lot of detentions as a teacher?
No, I mean, it does feel like those staff meetings are a bloody detention. Am I right? Am I right, everyone?
You were
a teacher.
You're talking to some kid and you're like, you're making too much trouble. I'm giving you a detention. And they're like, no, I'm giving you a detention. And you're like, ah.
What?
No.
Oh, this is bullshit.
Another detention for swearing, Mr. Clement.
That's right. Anyways, do you want to wrap us up? Do you want to bring us home, Mason?
Folks, that is the show. I hope it recorded in any way, shape, or form. We'll soon find out, won't we?
Me too.
Yeah.
We will.
My Zoom is still recording, so that's good. That's something, isn't it?
So is mine.
But folks, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for... It's hard to do this when you're remote. Folks, thank you so much.
Nah, it's easy.
Yeah, no, it is pretty easy.
I don't have to bloody smell you, mate.
Gotcha. Oh, folks, thanks for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for telling your friends about the show.
Yeah.
Specifically, I mean telling your friends about the show so they also listen to the show. Don't tell them about the show in such stunning clarity that they don't need to listen to the show, because that is...
Yeah.
I should have been clearer about this, if I'm honest with you, earlier on.
Yeah, I mean, we're so far in. We're at episode 1047 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people might just be going like, I listen to this podcast. Oh, yeah. And that's it.
Or they might be like,
you know what I mean?
I listen to the podcast and then the first guy said, welcome to the Weekly Planet podcast. Well, and then they do it for an hour and 50 minutes. And then that other person's like, wow, that was really evocative. I don't need to listen anymore. Well, you should. Be specific.
I agree.
But anyway, thank you for telling your friends.
Agree.
Thank you for leaving a 5-star review because it helps other people find the show. James, do you have any reviews there?
It does. And I've got a couple here. This one's from Emperor Bailey, who says, decades well spent. I listen to this podcast every Monday since 1976 when they started it up to discuss news about the upcoming Superman the movie.
Oh.
Consistently A-plus commentary for 45 years and counting. I've thoroughly enjoyed it and the community that has grown up around it. Join us. So you could do a review like that, a lie, if you will.
Mm.
Or you could do what Trevor Felto, who says... Just a good old time. Listen here, folks. I'm using my wife's phone to leave another 5-star review because these boys are just the greatest. If you can do that, if you can swipe someone else's phone to leave a second review.
Yeah, nice.
Much appreciated.
Yeah. Folks, yeah. If you want to get in contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can go to planetbroadcasting.com. You can sign up to the newsletter from the great Rob Collings. He's at Raw Collings on Twitter. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter. And on Instagram, I'm Nick Maso, NickMaseau. James, you're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
I am.
You can also go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can just jump on in there and join up, and you can have fun, good time chats about all kinds of stuff related to podcasts and pop culture and movies and all kinds of stuff. You have a great time.
I agree.
If you want to support the show, You can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies to chuck in a buck, or in fact, any amount would help us very much.
Very much so.
If you can, but if you can't, you just listen to the podcast. It's fine. We love it.
Yeah, we do.
You can also go to bigsandwich.co for $9 dues per month. You can get all kinds of bonus content. How much content's on there? Like a year's worth of stuff? How long have we been doing that?
Way more than that. A year and a bit, even.
Oh, year and a bit. That is way more.
The one that's up. So next week is going to be Justice League Part 2.
Yes.
This week, though, is Time Crapture, where we look at the year 1981 in pop culture and music and movies and TV shows and all that. So that'll be up there right now.
And we determine whether or not it was a good year or we wouldn't want to be alive then. So.
And we never want to live there, do we, Mason?
Never, ever.
Ever. But speaking of... Our what if recaps go up there early while Collins is doing the edit. The audio goes up there. So
nice. Yeah. Let's see. We've got some t-shirts on tpublic.com. All kinds of crazy stuff over there. Official, unofficial. Just grab one. Just search for the Weekly Planet.
I agree.
Grab one you think is fun. And thank you to the Bruce and the Basilisk and Rackham for all the musical themes. And that is the whole show. What do you reckon about that?
Now, because next week is, I love it. Next week is good, Mason, because it's episode 400. And we mentioned this, that we would talk about the movie 300.
Yes.
At the episode 400. But we've already done a commentary and we've covered that movie extensively. But there is a movie from 2015, a sci-fi fiction film called 400 Days. It stars Brandon Routh.
Love Brandon Routh.
We could do the movie 400 Days.
Now, this is post Superman Returns, right? 2015.
Yeah, this is 2015. There's also a movie called 400 Bullets, which came out this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah.
There's also a movie called 400 Days of Summer, which is a prequel. Actually, it's just the first three quarters of 500 Days of Summer.
Okay.
So we could do
this. Nice. Man, this movie ends on a cliffhanger, we would say.
I mean, and for the better, because I hope, you know, the guy's awful. I hope he's miserable forever.
Same.
Anyway, we'll think of something for next week, won't we, Mason?
Yes, that's right. Folks, once again, thank you all for listening. Hope this recorded.
We appreciate you putting up with this particular version of the podcast this week.
Don't leave. Guys, don't leave.
Don't leave us.
I know I'm loud sometimes. I can't help it.
All right, see you, everybody.
Grab that gem, you guys. We will talk to you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.